I don't do this a whole lot. Do I need to open my video before to share?
Yeah.
That how it works.
Yeah.
What about the
He's gonna share his video. Nope. He's already co-host, David.
So I don't have
So
to
you
do
don't
it.
have to do anything from
Yeah.
yours. He should start his and share from his. On the bottom.
Yeah.
Or share.
Yeah. I should probably pull my dot. I don't finish. Yeah. Something. Yeah, there. Yeah. No. Yeah. Thanks for having us here. It's good to be here safely and soundly, and learning how much road time you all put into your day. Safety, I can see where car accidents happen. Yeah. Wow. Of course, greetings from Joe and Wendy. Their connection here from Harbor Oaks, they said. Say a hearty hello to you all. What a joy it is. They've been a blessing to Arbor Oaks and to us as well, of course. And she actually, Wendy actually has done various prayer meetings specifically with for Linnell and the ladies, and that really meant a lot to both of us. And they're very involved and had them into our home and such. And yeah. They both have a fire for the Lord, and so coming here, it's just refreshing to see the Lord's faithfulness, just in this short time here, in each of your lives. I was going to start out with just a little bit of where I've been reading, and that's in the Samuels and also in John. And I probably won't actually turn to Samuel necessarily. It's more in John, but I thought it was neat to read that when Samuel was put into he was given over by his parents to Eli and the work of the ministry there in the temple to be trained. And it says, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, oh, he appeared to him. And then it says, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And that was striking to me that that's the same way he reveals himself to us today, and the power of the word. Maybe it's going too far, but we could almost say the Lord appears to us and reveals himself to us through his word. That's kind of how I read this, how I see this is he appeared to him by revealing himself through the word of the Lord. And reminds me of the other verse when it in the New Testament, speaking of Elijah and the prophets, and they were men just like us. Just like us. And also reading in the book of John, in reading of the crowds, we know there's a variety, that there's an unbelieving crowd and a believing crowd, and sometimes they're easily overlooked because it's just a little half of a verse or something, and many believed in him. And the main takeaway I saw and theme was that, and I only have about chapters 2 through chapter 10, so half the book. And most of all of them, I have about 10 verses here. I don't think we'll get through all of them, but it was after Jesus taught. It was after a personal interaction, either one-on-one or through him teaching, his teaching ministry. And that's where we have in all of those chapters, really the one that stands out as, and they believed kind of is right in line with the miracle, is Lazarus, which we know how miraculous that miracle was. Fascinating that even the man born blind, in the discussion with the leaders, the religious leaders, and go ask him, he's of age, he can tell you. And then they kicked him out because they were just so frustrated. They were seeking signs. Jews seek signs, Greeks seek wisdom, as it says in First Corinthians. And so Jesus finds him. He seeks him out. And there's a verse there that says, well, he says, Jesus says, do you believe in the one that God has sent? Said, who is he? I am he. And it was like at that moment, his eyes were open. His spiritual eyes were open. So his word is powerful. And I know that's testimony in each of your lives. And it's been an encouragement reading through John. I've known for many years to recommend John to people who are seeking Christ or showing. And it seems like maybe each time I go through it, yes, this is a good starter book, knowing, of course, the key verse, these are written that you may believe. And then another one that you may know the Father, and that is eternal life. Psalm says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. As a personal testimony, Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. I always kind of read that verse kind of as like a, that's how you come to salvation, is that, and I think I've come to see that verse as, it doesn't stop there. Our faith, object of our faith in Christ, comes by hearing, whether it's audibly or reading. And so what an encouragement we have when we feel like we are lacking faith, and we have a source to turn to. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So be encouraged with me in those words, and what a amazing gift of eternal life, and that he has given us his word in print, that doesn't change. There's something about book. We have all this technology these days, but something about pick it up. Some of us maybe have had our Bible since early age, but the words are maybe a little different version, but the words are still there, and it's he's preserved his word. This is our family. You've seen them. Yes, little Simon has been prayed for much, and we are thankful for his life and that he's with us. And there's a medical journey, and that we can share maybe a little bit of, but. These are a few of the barriers that we see in our personal life, missions in general. I should probably come up with a better word, but you get the point. Barriers to the gospel. We see these in scripture. The enemy, he comes to give us life more abundantly. And so when we think about witnessing and sharing our faith, these are some that we know are still current today in various countries and places, and even very close to our own homes. Religious barriers, other religions. Excuse me. It's supposed to be an hour. And so we see the local government in Acts, Paul, and then we also see other Jews actually kick them out. Of course, some of the Jews were opposed to the gospel. In some cases, it's you could just say there's Yeah, because there's no believers, there's no short of him showing up in a miraculous type of dream or something, which happens, we know, but there's little to no growing healthy or even a few believers that are in a location. So that could be mentioned as a barrier, lack of laborers, dissensions, different languages, that's an obvious barrier. We're just learning Indonesian, and it's just mind-blowing that for very little carryover. Music, there's a music or a couple of those words where it's like, yeah, I recognize, but other than that, God's creativity there, and also is overcoming that at Pentecost. But we that's a can be a barrier that hinders the gospel in our eyes, right? God's sovereign over this, we know this, but the Holy Spirit can redirect like he did with Macedonian call and such, and don't go there, go there. And so we see God's hand in his in that story and his direction. Okay, so this is just you're familiar with the 1040 window, and I put this up here. Indonesia is this very southeast corner of the 1040 window, and so it's a Muslim majority country. I think the numbers are 87% on that, but it just in general, if you look back at those barriers, you could see that a lot of those apply to this area of the world. Could be governmental restrictions to missionary visas and so on and so forth. Geographical barriers. This is something that we see in Acts a few times. Paul takes a boat or ship across the Mediterranean, and the shipwreck and such, but he used transportational services to make his, we don't know all the reasons why, but we can only guess, efficient, maybe safer, less, as he got older, less on the body. So this is regions of the world where it's what we jungle, treacherous type terrain, lots of mountains, wide rivers, and can be a geographical barrier to reaching various people groups. Just to name a few, Brazil, Ecuador, there's a plethora there in South America, and then over in Africa, Dominican Republic, Kenya, Uganda, and flowing over Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. For whatever reason, whether it's a what is the correct term, microevolution of languages, but yeah, these people groups, in addition to being isolated from the world, are often isolated just from each other too. And sometimes it's as practical as, why would we ever want to climb over there and figure, like, we have what we need here. And we're talking in cases thousands of people in a group, but they have what they need and they're settled. And if they ever go over, I mean, I'm just kind of getting ahead of myself, but the spirits can put fear in them. There's something over there. Don't go over there, or so on and so forth. So over the years and centuries, millennia, they've developed in a lot of cases their own distinct. I don't even think dialect's the right word, because they're completely different languages. And some numbers I'm sure you've heard, but Papua New Guinea, I think, holds the record per like acre of land, or mile, square mile, of like over 800. Indonesia has, at least the land mass we're going to, has over 250 known people groups of various sizes. I did have an opportunity in 2013 to visit Papua, Indonesia, So I say Papua softly because a lot of people automatically think Papua New Guinea, but we'll look at a map and show you better. But it took a couple pictures. So the pictures in here are from that trip, and got to see firsthand the missionaries serving there. I saw things like in one case, there's different kind of metrics that we try to use to assess Christians, believers, Bibles, is there church, so on and so forth. And it was actually one of I got to go on one of these day flights, and one of the missionaries said this people group has either it was either complete or near complete Bible, and I think in print too, but really no healthy church. And so I heard this phrase that years later that in some of these cases, and this is true worldwide too, of course, in America too, there's Bibleless peoples, and then sometimes there's peopleless Bibles where it's there. And so prayer as one seeking to provide safe, reliable transportation to be an encouragement to missionaries and provide medical relief and such is praying for church planters called who are called to disciple and evangelize and to revive if the church has become dead, to revive it, set up elders. And so that's, yeah, it's hard to really pinpoint statistics on these things, but it runs out of these 250 people groups, plus it's everywhere from no church and no Bible. We know the two go very hand in hand. It's very important as a church to have scripture, to not waver or go into false teaching, animism, spiritism. And the one that I always forget about, the blending, should know these terms, where they blend, they just like, oh, come in, we'll bring Christ into our religion and we'll just make a go of it. So the various demographics spiritually that are going on. So this is Indonesia, 17,000 islands. I don't think all of them are inhabited. A couple key ones that, if I named them, I've not been to them. So it's Java, I think, is one. Some very, like, if you hear of, oh, go, here's a great place to vacation. I've been to, there is one or two islands that are tourist type islands. And I think they're very small. But, anyways, that's, I just say that because I think that's generally what, if you even know where Indonesia's at, it's like, oh, I've heard of Java. It's around the other side of the world. It's just natural to be less, a little less familiar with it. But Papua on the east side, it was originally, well, it's inhabited by Papuans. And so when colonialization happened and the Dutch did, owned some in their trade routes and such, they drew a line right down the middle. So again, the very east of that box I'm showing, that's Papua. And so you end up with Papuans all over. It's just, did they find themselves on the east side of that line in Papua New Guinea or on the west side in Papua Indonesia? This is the close-up of that previous picture. And then there's five different provinces within that section of Papua. The blue one, still working on language learning. We haven't learned that word officially yet, but Pegunungan, that's mountainous area. Selatan is south, Tengah is central, and Barat is southwest. We've actually had the opportunity through a Signal app to, when we, having visited years ago, and then full circle that 12, 13 years now, it's really exciting to to be able to go back and serve there. And so when things started lining up and Lord opening doors to come here, I thought, hey, there's 250 divided by 52, and we could pray. Yeah, if we there happens to be five, so we ended up splitting up each week praying for one people group, known people group, in each of these five areas. So that's why I had the picture there. It's helpful. Then this is a few of the locations in. And naturally, the location, the airstrips are named mostly the people group that they serve. It says not all 400 airstrips are identified. This, for perspective, this is this landmass area that we're looking at is the size of about California, with little to no roads still. And that makes our scratch our heads a little bit. Like we're just commenting about roads actually on the way up. And there's usually one within sight. They've been working on, hey, like rather than trying to make, I mean, there are roads being built, but also there's a lot of dynamics that just don't happen much here. Is, well, we'll make a road, but it's not asphalted, so it'll wash out. Or even if it is, they thin and wash out, and okay, there goes the road like that, because of the mountainous region and then just the civil engineering feats. So in top of the way the government's set up, I'll just leave it at that, and such. And so they sometimes in my mind it's like, oh, where's the end? And you know, when will I get a road? And they've been working on a main road to just go right through the middle, kind of middle of the area, at least to try to get, let's just kind of get a main highway. But that unfortunately has also hit many roadblocks, I'll just say. So it's even that has had difficulty. See where I'm going here. Some of the stories that are interesting is, well, we scripture talks, or Jesus specifically talks about the man with 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray. Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. And when you talk about a geographical barrier too, it's this verse often touches their hearts very deeply, because they feel the isolation when they're the way that they rely on transportation to get them out, and out, they're kind of like an island in and of themselves. So when the gospel comes, this verse really touches them often. And then we have other key verse from Ephesians 2. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay. Sorry, I'm flipping through these pretty quick, but I'll just leave it on this slide, I guess. I was going to just quickly talk about our calling. When we were at MOP, I really enjoyed one of the presenters. They talked about what is a calling. I think a lot of us think of that, whether it's with the next job or where to move or you know who to marry and so on and so forth. And the theme was looking at guidance, looking at his guidance. And I like that word because it has a forward pointing aspect to it, in rearward looking too, rearward mirror. And so that's my I when I heard that, yeah, that's good. I jive with that. It wasn't Some people say actually, if you see writing on the wall, it's bad trend. But there's, yeah, through the years, the Lord has just continued to not let off the gas, I guess you could say. And there's a lot of unsought after things or circumstances in my life. One being even going here on this trip, we when I was in high school and praying about what to do after high school, and had this on my I'd known of missions because I grew up in a Bible believing church, and very similar to this, having missionaries come present. So praise the Lord for early knowledge of Christ and believing in Him. In high school, thinking about how aviation is needed around the world. And what would you know it, when I was about junior in high school, a missionary who was he had a family, he actually grew up a city neighboring ours, but had no connection with him whatsoever. There was a widow in our church that was on a missionary agency host list, like some missions have. So their missionaries can come back and just click a map, like, oh, I'm gonna be here, I'll stay with you. And she said, oh, I happen to have this missionary from Indonesia. And I'm like you guys, like, kind of like, where's that again? And so I came over, and he before I left, he said, would you like if you'd like to come over, feel free, here's my email. It kind of tucked the thought in the back of my head, and ended up working 2 years after high school, knowing that aviation's not cheap. And so I was working, and right before going to school, I guess you could call it like a let's go check it out before I actually spend a couple years learning. And so looking back, it was like, yeah, that you can't chalk those up as coincidences. Our family moved close to an airport. My dad was a pastor, so we moved from Indiana to Michigan when I was 10, and really thank the Lord for those who have invested in our hearts and our lives through the years, of course. Actually, on our way out, I was telling someone we visited the church that I grew up in from age 0 to 10, and everything looked much smaller. All the seeing the faithfulness in God, in His people, and names and faces that grew older, but were loving the Lord, and that was a blessing. But there's a few the, going to a missionary aviation school is not required for this. It's a technical certificate. You all, I'm sure, have various certificates and such in your jobs. But ended up finding that the School of Missionary Aviation Technology on the west side of Michigan was like kind of in our back door. It was about 2.5 hours away. And I was there 3 years, 1 year doing maintenance, one flight, and then I stayed on staff. Lord changed my heart to stay one more or 2 more years. It ended up being one. Meanwhile, Linnell is a couple. A little bit younger than me, but went to a college in Iowa. She is from Iowa, and sped her 4-year degree up into 3, and had a I don't know if change of heart is the right word, but just a change of desire, and ended up coming to SMAC. So we look back and praise the Lord for the fact that there is that 1 year. It's not a four-year school where you get 4 years overlap. It was like just that one. And so praise the Lord. And I'm sure you have your stories too. Not a coincidence. We were married in 2018, and we just took a heart posture of Lord, we know that you know that we're willing, but in your time, and move as you will. And we ended up getting a number of years in serving at local churches that we were in, and then also in the field of aviation, and doing aircraft maintenance and flight instruction. In 2020, we moved to Dubuque, Iowa, and found Arbor Oaks, and have been there since. And so we've been really fed well there. I've also enjoyed getting to know the Fleming family, Jim and Sharon, and he's been such a help in this process and meeting. And there's just a lot, a lot we could say about that. Just people our age, we moved from a city that, or at least I should say, at least a church that had maybe one other couple our age. So just being a, it has a lot of universities and colleges there. So a lot of young families who had just maybe graduated and got married. So we just many, many things to praise the Lord for. We were also closer to Linnell's family, about 2.5 hours from Dubuque. Then, so gotta figure out where I'm at here. In 2022, we started taking a more direct step towards JARS, Jungle Aviation Relay Services. They were founded in part with Wycliffe Bible Translators. JARS actually serves as a training center. And so, though they're closely affiliated with Wycliffe, they're their own entity and actually own sending agency now. We just saw the Lord open doors through CMML, and JARS trains its missionaries on the technical side of things mainly. There is a intercultural communications course that we went through with them, but they develop standards so that if I just say short grass airstrip in Indonesia, some might be like, oh, that's really cool. Well, once you actually, or even flying, I always, anybody who's actually been through, I guess if you enjoy driver's ed, driver's training, maybe you'd be like, but they keep you so busy. If you have a good instructor, they keep you busy and it's stressful. It's a job. It's not, you're not fooling around. So I say all of that to say that there's that technical oversight that needs to be there so that there's not bent metal out there, as what happens can happen, even within mission organizations, of course, but often can happen to secular operators who just have another standard of living often in how they treat themselves, how they treat their plane and those on board. So we there were again guidance. Our instructor actually at SMAT was on loan from JARS to that school. This trip itself was to YJASI. So I know I'm throwing a lot of acronyms out there, but it's okay if you don't remember that. YJASI is a Indonesian ministry, its own it's owned by believers. It's a nonprofit ministry. It stands for Aviation Services Foundation. It's a acronym in Indonesian. And they mainly pull from JARS training people. So if that makes sense, that's where I'm swinging around to is the there's not really much of any other way to serve there than to go through the JARS. That way their standards are high, they know who they're getting, and helps them stay in unity as they serve. This is their hangar for perspective, and it's in a city. It's a you could call it a regional airport. The city is quite large. It's the biggest one on the whole land mass that I showed you. And so it kind of makes sense. Like if you're going to have a base, you want some populated area there so that you can do, you can be the help that you know, hospitals or a hospital or two are there, and so on and so forth. There's numerous churches in the area, but still highly populated Muslim area. When Indonesia took over this part of Papua, there was what was called transmigration, where the government was incentivizing people to move here and such. I put on there roughly 50% like directly. So think anything missionary related, their supplies, their family, themselves. You could even say if one of them gets hurt and medical help to the missionary, equipment, Bible distributions or printings, and you could point to anything on that. Like 50%, I was trying to figure out how to say this. Sometimes I would say commercially, it's income. It is income because it's a nonprofit. It's not, it's not taken and given to the board or whatever. And some of you know the terminology much better than I do, but it's what it's used for then is it's one, even though they're charging, it's benefiting the people that we're serving. We trust that we are not there just as machines sitting there on plane. We're trusting that the Lord is working through us as we're doing our day-to-day minute work to the best of our ability for His glory. But yeah, think so. I'm talking humanitarian. Think government officials. They want to get out, check things out occasionally, and get numbers or see. There's medical evacuations. There's people who want to see their family in this city who have moved out, so on and so forth. Think about any reason you want to drive to another city a ways away, and the only way to get it is using air transportation. They use then that funds to put fuel in the planes to pay for parts. They also have a 30 to 40 national staff workers that they hire off the street, say. So that's a neat discipleship opportunity in and of itself. And then they prioritize the mission flights, triage those up at the top. And you think of like a someone called to church plant, Bible translate, evangelize, so on and so forth. They get here after their whole airline stuff, and then there's another charge. Well, they discount that. UJOTC is able to usually discount, I'm not sure how much, but discount the missionaries' flights so that they are able to do the work at and go further with their funds. Just a couple pictures of them working, and some of these end up coming back to the States, getting certified and going back as a certified pilot or mechanic, which is neat. Kind of a sponsorship type. It's usually kind of contractual, so they come back and they need to serve at least 4 years or something like that. In you can imagine in this country, in the city, that there's a lot of incentive then for them after that to go to airlines, a better paying job. This is a ministry. The missionaries there are missionaries, and so if they want to stay on, if they feel Lord's calling, if they're a believer, and I think they vet them, kind of stepping back on my words, but they only send people who are showing growth in Christ. There's an application process and so on and so forth, but once they fulfill their duty, if they want to continue on, then they essentially become missionaries themselves to work there, is my understanding. With background behind that. Blend here in the city of Indonesians coming from the other islands, Papuans, various religions. So I'll just stop there. And to summarize, I think of our ministry that, as the Lord wills, we hope to engage in is, well, just at home. Linnell's going to be on mission at home with our kids and in the community. I'm sure you've heard many reports from people overseas that it's not as simple as going to Walmart. It's not as simple as showing up and being the first in line at whatever it is. So she's, but we're not, we're in the city. We're renting from an Indonesian. In some cases, there are compound-based missions, and they do that because there's security there. They have their own doctor, nurse, teachers, so on and so forth. And in some of these very primitive places, that's the best way to do this work. In Indonesia, in this city, there that's not the case. So we're excited to have a ministry right where we're living. You could call it business as missions. We're going in that sense. If in nothing else, we're there. We're able to encourage believers and be a light and a witness with our family, living out biblical principles with his help. And then the second would be at the base, at the main hangar there that I showed you, discipling. You're rubbing shoulders with other expats, but you're also with possibly unbelievers who they've vetted and decided to bring on board, or young believers. I'm not sure, there might be some mature, but even so, you're with the people in a work setting. And so we're excited about that. And then the other one is kind of the obvious one of being able to encourage and pray with and for the missionaries, for the people that they're engaging with, and seeing the we get kind of a bird's eye, almost member care type of look at the ministries going on in these people groups. This is just a timeline of the last few years, and some variety of trainings. We're thankful for all of these. Marriage, counseling. I think most of so that's really, really good. At some point though, it's like, okay, let's get married, Let's go. and so, but in his time, in last spring, Simon was born with a medical complication that we didn't find out until he was born. And so that caught us, everyone, by surprise. And it's the complication was his esophagus was not attached to his stomach, instead attached to his trachea, which is not, if you're asking, can't they find, see that on the ultrasound? It's too thin walled, so generally you find it at birth. He had a 2-day-old surgery, was in the NICU for a month in North Carolina. Then we moved back to Iowa and were in the PICU for a month. He had a perforation on one of his dilators. So after they connected it, that spot can become narrow to the point where milk won't flow through. So they dilate it with a balloon, put a balloon down. One of them perforated, and so he had bad bacteria set in his bloodstream, and he had like 3 or 4 infections at once, and was put on a ventilator, was medically paralyzed for a bit, and had some close life-threatening like staff floor emergencies too. So that was in July, and so yeah, there were times where it was like that verse about. I mean, there's various verse. There's what's the one? My life is in your hand. In Psalms, there's say every breath. I don't have it wrote down right now, but again, his word. Like wow, it's real, and we have to surrender this truth back to him that we're not sure if he'll make it. And we know many were praying, and we know that ultimately it's just God's mercy and his will in it. And I was talking to Linnell the other day. He was born May 27th. Her birthday is 26th, which was his due date, so he's 1 day over. And we were just commenting about how close her birthdays will be, and she's like, I don't care about my birthday. Yeah, Lord willing, we'll be able to celebrate his first birthday. That's just how it goes sometimes. Then language learning happening starting in November. So as we started to see the departure be pushed off because he was getting bi-weekly dilations into October, there was a unique, I call it kind of first time for this, for Jars, I guess, and I'll maybe for you, Jossie, to be able to start language learning here. Generally, the rule is like start if you want, but when you immerse, you get the most because you're, and that's true. There's also a lot of stresses with getting there, setting up, not being able to learn the language. So right now, it has been a blessing, an open blessing to us because handing Simon off, who looks like a normal baby, to an Indonesian that might the care sitter probably doesn't actually know English to say like, yes, he is of age to eat, but he can't, you know, only this. And so she was concerned about that. I think that's valid. Be able to put our children to sleep, and we're doing a kind of a late night to align with their work day the next day. And so yeah, the tutors actually happen to be believers, which is really cool. And one of them was actually led to the Lord by the other one, in a college, and they're currently staying with the missionary. So, and I think the missionary. So it's just fun to see, like, we knew that, you know, the Lord's, and that's actually a big part of training is don't, and we know this in our any workplace, don't walk in like you're the first one there. You know, the Lord has his footprints in every culture and people and in various ways of ministry through other missionaries and such. So
Have you connected with Gavin Jones at all?
yeah, his name sounds really familiar, and I know I've
Jars.
talked to
He's
him.
with Jars.
yeah
Instructor. Yeah.
yeah I think, yeah, we'll talk more about that. I'm trying to remember if I met him in person or not. Yeah, that's it. Key verse here that is, yeah, we of course covet your prayer, but we want to see the word speed ahead, be honored as happened among you. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And I think naturally prayer requests have, just laborers into this harvest, more church. That really did burden my heart when I was there to see that people group with God's word and just not reading it, not having someone point them to truth. Language learning. I'm not a late night person, so I'm early. Anyways, the whole day kind of gets shifted. So, but he can he made the language. He knows how to help us learn. And then discernment or departure timing. He still has a G-tube. Simon still has a G-tube. That's hoping to come out the next few weeks, which is essentially an open wound. It's a medical open wound. And that was something else we were waiting to make sure was out before we go. So, thank you. Thank you
Thank
for your
you.
interest. And I keep looking for the time on my computer and everything. It's water under the bridge now. Sorry, it's running over. Thank you, everybody online, too. Thanks for your interest.
You want to close in prayer?
Yeah. Sure.